Hey there, I'm Wendy Vaughn, sales success coach. Now, they call me the queen of predictable sales results. Well, because the easy formulas I share create sustainable, predictable results for my clients. And I am so glad that you've tuned in to today's episode of the Selling Made Easy Show, because this show is all about inspiration, not just in demystifying the client getting process known as sales, but also in peering through the lens of guest entrepreneurs who are blazing their own trails. And those trails have probably included a few unexpected roadblocks, maybe even having to overcome fears or blocks about selling. Now, I believe everyone has their zone of genius, their superpower that's a gift to others, including you. Now, for me, after 22 years of outperforming my peers in sales results, well, it's almost an x-ray vision that I have when it comes to finding and fixing any sales blind spots within entrepreneurs that are unknowingly causing clients to slip away. And with today's guest, his zone of genius is his ability to connect with people in a way that helps them identify their limiting beliefs, and he supports them in overcoming those so that they can finally achieve their big goals. So I am super excited to introduce Barry Cervantes. Now, Barry is the founder and president of Camelot Life Coaching Company, which he started with the intent to give back by creating greater success and significance in others. Now, Barry works with people going through major life transitions or transformations. Now, prior to becoming a life coach, Barry founded Gateway Insurance Company in 1986 with a focus on providing insurance for private passenger and commercial autos, and received a B++ rating. Now, Barry's company generated over $40 million in revenue over the 20 years he owned the firm before selling it in December of 2005. Well, welcome, Barry. I am so excited to have you as my guest today.
Thank you, Wendy. Happy to be your guest and excited about our time together.
Yeah, fantastic. And, you know, I just love how you're helping people just really successfully make it through some of those big unexpected or even expected life changes and life events. I can't wait to hear more about this and the work you're now doing.
Well, thank you. I'm excited to share whatever I can and hopefully can be of help to some of your many listeners.
All right, fantastic. Well, I appreciate that, Barry. And always top of my list is, what was the inspiration or tipping point that prompted you to start your own life coaching practice?
Well, it's a long story, but I'll try and give you a shorter version of it. But the first was reading a book by a guy named Bob Buford, out of Colorado, your home state.
Okay.
And it was called Halftime.
Okay.
And the crux of the book was the first 50 years of our lives that we strive for success, and the second 50 years of our life we strive for significance. So I just wanted to create some more significance in my life, and life coaching and helping people is really what I wanted to do.
Nice. Yeah, I love that. And what was the last name of the author's name again?
Bob Buford.
Buford.
B-U-F-O-R-D.
Okay. Oh, that sounds like a great book, Halftime. Well, it obviously made a huge impact on you and prompted you to rethink, I guess, the trajectory that you were on. So now I know you said it's kind of a long story. Is there anything else that went into that? You know, what were you doing prior? Is that the insurance business that you had?
Yes, I've been fortunate to do well with the insurance business. And after I sold out in 2005, it was kind of like, well, what do you want to do now that you've grown up? So anyway, I put some resources away and started a life coaching practice, which where I trained out of the Gardner Institute out of Dallas. And I kind of stumbled across that because I was involved with a group called Young Presence Organization. And the entrepreneur founder of Gardner Institute was given a presentation, and it really resonated with me.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, I love that. I mean, you obviously came from a very successful career within the insurance sector and provided a lot of support for people in terms of keeping them safe or protected in terms of liability and those kinds of things. But, you know, when I was bringing you into the conversation here, you know, I alluded that your zone of genius is in really, you know, connecting with people at a level that helps them identify their limiting beliefs, which obviously serves you extremely well in your life coaching work. So now 2005. So is that when you started your coaching practice? Is that what I understand?
Yes. I was in the process of selling my business because I knew I wanted to do something different. And then I guess I have this line, which is that every time we want to make God laugh, show him our plans. So I showed God my plans of selling the business, and a little bit of a crisis happened where I went through a the buyers of my company, the former buyers. Obviously, I never sold the company with them, but anyway, they kind of conspired, and the next thing you know, I had a crisis on my hand, both personal and professional. But with some fraud involved, I ended up having to litigate and went through about a year and a half of litigation in a federal court of Missouri. I guess $900,000 in legal fees, and ultimately it came out very successfully. But during that crisis, which included a divorce, I ended up hiring a life coach. And after about a year and a half of weekly sessions with her, it dramatically changed my life. And I knew at that time I became passionate and inspired that that's what I wanted to do.
Right. Yeah. Boy, you had firsthand experience there with some major life events that, you know, you were having to deal with. So I love the fact that you resonated with the big value that this person was providing for you, and also realize that within you, you had, you know, that what I call, like I said, the zone of genius in order to be able to make that and be that support for others. So yeah, I love that. So has your coaching practice evolved since you first began?
Yeah, it sure has, Wendy. And I like that term of a zone of genius, because a lot of times it all comes down to our purpose in life. Mm-hmm. And I feel like one of my purposes of life is connecting with others. And so when this issue happened and starting to talk to the life coach, I reflected on a time in high school when we were visited by a master's in social worker. And he said that he helped people, he talked with people, he helped people, he supported people. And he charged them $50 an hour. And I said, wow, that's what I want to do when I grow up.
So that started later, early. That was in high school.
Yes.
That idea was planted.
I never realized that back then, there are certain moments in time that we recall. And I just recalled that that's really what I wanted to do, and that dream manifested itself 40 years later.
Mm-hmm. Wow. When you were in that phase of deciding to focus on making it, on, is it making it significant? I know the book, you know, Halftime said the first 50 years to be successful or to focus on success, and the second 50 years or the next, I should say, to focus on being of significance. So yeah, you just had to go through, you know, 40 years of the success part and then get to the significance part, I guess.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And I will say, just kind of joking, Wendy, when I made the comment, when we plan, God laughs. Mm-hmm. So I planned to become a psychologist and live in California, where I graduated from school at Santa Clara. And I literally was enrolled in grad school at University of San Francisco to get my master's in psychology, and then live the rest of my life out there after I got my PhD and have a practice, a psychotherapy practice. And then my dad, within a 10-day period, when I was enrolled in classes and everything else, came down with massive cancer. Wow. So my, even though I had my housing set up, my courses selected, and everything ready to go for at University of San Francisco, I ended up, when my dad came down in intensive care and wasn't given long to live, ended up switching to St. Louis University and getting an MBA and getting into the family business.
Wow.
Yeah. Big shift, big transition, but that kind of again led to me where I am today.
Mm-hmm. Right. Some more firsthand experience in facing a major shift in your own focus and path, and just a sudden change that you had to navigate through and firsthand experience. So yeah, it's funny how when we look in the rearview mirror at the path that we've taken, it's almost like it's been perfectly orchestrated, but in the midst of it, it can feel like, oh my gosh, the rug was just pulled out from underneath me, you know. And obviously with your father coming down with cancer, that was something you needed to really be there and support him with, and, you know, make swift adjustments to be able to be there with him. But, you know, 2020 hindsight, the going through that experience of changing your whole degree and focus of your career has given you huge insight to be able to support others.
Yeah, that's exactly right, Wendy. I mean, I think a lot of times when we have certain experiences in life, and you know this better than anybody in your zone, that many times we think, oh, this is such a huge setback, or this is just a horrible challenge, or this is a big roadblock. Mm-hmm. In retrospect, and after we come through it, we find out it's just added life experience to us. And the essence of that provides the moxie and the experience in which we can share and help others.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yep. I fully believe that. So you walk the talk. So, yeah, and obviously, Barry, you are an expert at really connecting with people in a deep way that helps them, you know, overcome those limiting beliefs so that they can really successfully navigate through any of these major life transitions or transformations that might pop up unexpectedly or maybe even by choice. But I'm curious, how do you feel about the client enrollment or the sales part of being in business? Now, this is a very different skill set. Do you have any challenges or frustrations with this important part of growing a successful business?
Yeah, that's a great question, Wendy. And I do. It's interesting because, you know, who out there doesn't want some help? You know, that help may come mentally, or it may come socially, or it may come financially, or, you know, career steps. Mm-hmm. So everybody would like some help. The question is, one, do they have the opportunity and the confidence in which to engage and to seek the help that they need? And then secondly, once they do make that step, you know, I meet with somebody and give them a complimentary session and to talk and see if I can be of help to them. And if I can't, I'll tell them and give them a suggestion or two. Mm-hmm. But then thirdly, people have to have, the financial resources in which to pay for, the services, just like, you know, any doctor, any professional like yourself or anybody. Mm-hmm. So it's really those three qualities that people want to have to take the initiative to. They have to have the trust and the comfort level in which to kind of bare their soul. Mm-hmm. And then three, you know, have the financial resources in which to carry through.
Right. Yes, exactly. And so, you know, obviously you, even though people are going through maybe difficult times in their lives, they might not perceive it as being something that they need, an expert to help them through. So those people are not your potential clients, even though you have the ability and probably, you know, a very streamlined process that allows you to support them in a way that could carry them through quite quickly, you know, whatever challenges they're facing. But in their own minds, and herein lies the problem, right? It's in their own minds, they decide whether it's something that is just too, there's too much at stake for them to be able to really successfully make it through. And what's at stake is of a bigger concern than being able to just, okay, I'm just going to put my head down and just grin and bear it and get through this. So if you'd like, I'll be happy to give you a little bit of insight around how to maybe support people in a way that helps them really to feel either more trust or be confident in taking that next step to, you know, have an expert such as yourself.
Yeah, I'd sure love to hear your input on that, but you brought up a really, really interesting point, mm-hmm. which is out of the universe, there's generally speaking about 15% of the people that are willing to take some risk and do something different with their lives as far as, you know, personal growth, as far as development, as far as leadership, as far as initiative. And the other 85% of the population are content and willing to accept the same old, same old. Mm-hmm. And so they want different outcomes, but they're not willing to do anything different in which to get a different outcome.
Right.
So they kind of say to do the same thing over and over again and expect different results.
Mm-hmm. Or don't even expect different results. They just do the same thing over and over again and think that's just the way it is.
Yeah, so, good point.
So that's exactly right. And that's important to keep in mind is that your work, even though it's extremely valuable and needed by so many people, there are only a very small percentage of people that are really going to have the clarity of, and realize this is uncharted territory for me. And there's a lot at stake. They either recognize that my career is at stake or my family is at stake or my health and well-being is at stake. You know, those are the main elements. They really see that there's a lot for them to possibly, you know, I don't know whether the right word is lose or not, but, you know, take, you know, that as a huge risk. That's, you know, that those things are at stake. And so what it comes down to is, you know, twofold, right? You have to have a very clear message that allows those people that are concerned, but don't realize maybe that there's an answer for them to hear a message from you that is what I call that dog whistle, right? It is something that they self-identify with. They think, oh boy, he's talking to me. That's exactly where I'm at, what I'm struggling with and what I'm fearing and what I know is at stake. And so I need to find out more about this guy. And so that initial messaging that is put out in whatever modes, you and I haven't spoken much about, you know, what you're currently doing in terms of helping others discover the work that you do. But that initial message is what is so critical to be able to bring into your circle of potential clients, those who are aware and understand what's at stake as they're navigating through this big life change. Now, the second aspect, you know, you had mentioned trust, you know, and so trust comes down to, you know, trusting in you, trusting in the process, trusting in themselves, right? Am I really
exactly
speed with this? You know, that works for others, but maybe not me. And so here's something that really supports that, because it does tie into people's limiting beliefs. You know, we all have some element of trust issues because we've all had probably experiences in our past where things have not gone as expected, or something that we thought we could believe in somebody doing something and they didn't. So, you know, that just is. But within, you know, the conversation that you're having with somebody, what really supports them best to feel that level of trust is to not only share your certifications and the years of business and the kind of the credentials, if you will, but also talk in terms of others who you've supported and what the outcomes have been for them, so that so that this potential client can, again, self-identify with, oh boy, that I can really relate to that. And now I really understand how he's made such a huge difference for that person. So it's, you know, supporting them through their doubts by drawing similarities between your potential client and somebody else that you've supported, or somebody else who has faced a similar situation and has, through your process or methodology, been able to achieve success.
Yeah, that's exactly right, Wendy. I think when you meet with somebody, you know, I have the benefit of two things: of sharing other experiences that might be similar to what the prospect is going through, or more easily and more relatably is to share my experiences. Mm-hmm. I always say that we all know what love looks like in our life, and we all have fears in our lives. So I try to relate to the other person and saying, you know, hey, here's the fears that I have. I know what fears you're experiencing. And I always use the kind of the acronym for fear is false expectations appearing real. Mm-hmm. So that's the F-E-A-R. Mm-hmm. And so everybody has a fear, whether it's a kid going off of a diving board, or whether it's someone starting a new job, or going on a first date, or making some big change in their life. Mm-hmm. So if you can help people, if you help relate to the person and connect with them by saying, I have this and that fear, and I know that you have your fears, what would you say your fear is? Mm-hmm. And again, one of the first things that we can best do is to identify what someone's limiting belief is. Mm-hmm. And so what are limiting beliefs? You know, we all have them. So I'm not good enough. I'm not smart enough. I'm not capitalized enough, or I'm not this, or I'm not that. So we all have an issue with our limiting belief. And then once you can kind of create the identification of that, then that's when you have the opportunity of really making a kind of an exponential difference in someone's life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that's absolutely true. Definitely. And, you know, we have just been through almost 2 years, maybe 18 months of the pandemic, which has really brought to the surface a lot of limiting beliefs, as well as real beliefs of, you know, health concerns and financial concerns, employment concerns, those kinds of things that have really created a lot of life changes for people. So I'm curious, what has the impact of the pandemic been on the work that you do?
Well, that's you hit the nail on the head there. So during this pandemic, there's been, you know, the number one issue has really been anxiety and fears that people have. And so you're right. One, about getting sick, or two, about hospitalization, or three, you know, about death and mortality of either that person or one of their loved ones. Mm-hmm. And the other two items that you hit on are people concerned about their income and people concerned about their employment. So all of those lead to a lot of fears, a lot of anxieties. And so unfortunately for others, that's kind of helped my business, because a lot of people are a lot more apt to reach out, you know, knowing they're facing fears, and two, needing some support and some clarity to get through it. And that's kind of what I help provide.
Yes. Yeah. I can imagine that there's just been a spike in need for the kind of work that you do. So that doesn't surprise me at all, because it has really created a lot of, and we've heard the word over and over, uncertainties. And the work that you do provides the certainties, provides the process to navigate through some of those unknowns and be able to land successfully on the other side, which is, you know, if you could maybe share a little bit more about how you do work with people who are facing these big life transformations or transitions, so that they can really, you know, arrive through the process successfully, I would love to hear more about your philosophy or your approach.
All right. Well, I would say that, you know, we all face our challenges. And as we're talking about with fears and anxiety, and I always say, you know, with fears, which we all have, and these limiting beliefs, that what you face dissipates as far as fears, and what you resist persists and get bigger and more challenging to work through. Right. So what I try to do is to, one, connect with people, two, is provide a lot of empathy, and three, I certainly don't have all the answers, but what I try to do is provide some open-ended and empowering questions. Okay. And so by doing that, that will help provide some clarity to them, at least give them a lot of consideration for and reflection on what they're doing and how they're doing it. And then thirdly, to get some breakthrough. Mm-hmm. And I always say sometimes it takes some breakdown in order to get some breakthrough. But, you know, if you can be supportive and empathetic and compassionate and loving along the way, then you certainly can help people get that breakthrough that they need.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah, that is, it's so important to really have that open heart and be able to provide that opportunity for people to really connect with what's going on for them, because sometimes because of the limiting beliefs, that becomes something that they can't even really identify that's going on. So it sounds like you really create this safe space for them to get in touch with their fears, as well as their priorities, as well as what they want to accomplish in a way that maybe nobody else has been there for them in that way. So yeah, that's powerful.
Yeah, that's really well put. You're right. It's help them get in touch with their fears and to dissipate them, and also, you know, provide you know, some direction and some different options for different direction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, makes perfect sense. Well, Barry, how can listeners learn more about you and this work that you do?
Well, I have a website called Camelot Life Coach. I guess if you pull up St. Louis Life Coach, I'll come up. You know, a lot of courses and, you know, it's really a 3-month program that I do. I do core coaching, but I also do this program coaching. I'll do an hour long complimentary session. So that can be done on phone. You know, that can be done on Zoom. That can be done on, you know, FaceTime. Take a look at my website, and or they could give me a call at 314-276-0423. And I'll get back to them. If I'm in session, I'll get back to them soon after.
Okay. All right. So that is CamelotLifeCoach.com. And I'm sure that you have just a wealth of information on your right there. But what I understand is that you also offer a complimentary 1-hour session?
That's correct.
Oh, wow. That's very generous. Okay. And so they'll be able to just get a better understanding of your approach and, you know, get more clarity around what your process is and see if this is the next best step for them.
Yeah, that's a good point, Wendy. I think the hour long gives them time to have some comfort with me. I mean, I just talked to somebody yesterday on the East Coast and was going through a lot of transitions and changes right now. And it's like we talked for 10 or 15 minutes in the last 30 minutes. It's a complete opening up of everything in their whole life. Wow. So, and one of the things, of course, maybe it's unnecessary to say, but, you know, confidentiality is really one of the pillars of my practice. Mm-hmm. So I will never share anything with anybody outside the other person. And I think it's really important to have that confidentiality, that safe space, as you call it, at the trust factor in order for people to become their best self and to take their life to a a higher and better level.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that sounds like it's a very valuable 60 minutes. So, all right. Well, so that's CamelotLifeCoach.com. And it sounds like you also offer a couple different ways people can work with you, either a 3-month program or another approach. Is that correct?
Correct. It's going to be a single issue. It might be a, you know, kind of a short-term issue and resolution with it.
Okay.
And to your point, Wendy, I think a lot of times it's important for people to, even in the complimentary 1-hour sessions, if the program isn't right for them or no other further coach needs, I can at least help someone clarify and identify their issues maybe a little bit more succinctly, you know, than they have it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think ultimately we want to lead to what I call SMART goals, and all the goals that we create afterwards through this process would be, you know, the specific, measurable, attainable, relevant, and trackable goals. So that's kind of the acronym for SMART.
Okay. Yeah. No, sounds like it provides a lot of clarity just to be able to identify, you know, those different components of goals and to overall get in touch with what is being resisted and what is being feared. So yeah, that's fantastic. Well, Barry, you've already shared just so much, you know, in terms of your wisdom and experience here through our conversation. But if I could tap on you one last time, in looking at your own experience in building your businesses, right? You've got two very successful businesses, one underway and one that you transitioned from and sold, obviously. But what's some advice that you can share with, say, a frustrated entrepreneur who's maybe questioning their decision to have started their own business, or they're doubting their ability to succeed?
Well, that's a great question. There's so many different qualities that one needs to have a successful business. But everybody talks about in real estate, you need location, location, location. So I say in starting a business, you need persistence, persistence, persistence.
Right.
So that's, I think, the number one factor that you're, you know, willing to overcome any and all odds. And I think the other thing that, of course, is helpful is, you know, every much success in life that anybody has achieved is not because of one person, but it's a village. So I think it's surrounding yourself with the right people and making sure you have a very clear picture of what you want. And you may not know how to get there, but having a very clear picture for what you want. And so lots of things help you get there from journaling when people are struggling. So what do we all want? We want a little bit of journaling. And just 20 minutes in the morning is found out to be scientifically a good amount and empirically a good amount. And then the other thing that we certainly can help us is having some affirmations. So I kind of specialize in helping people put affirmations together. And then the third area would be talking about something that we all need every day, which is prayer. So I think a lot of those three factors, you know, with prayers, affirmation, and journaling on top of the persistence and clarity, will get to someone to where they would like to be their highest and best self.
Yeah, no, I think that's a business plan right there. I think you've given more than a single nugget of wisdom. I think you've just laid the whole thing out. Okay, tap into persistence, just keep going, yeah. Keep going, keep going.
Yes.
Find that clarity around, you know, what you really want to achieve, you know, what you're building, because let's face it, they put together a blueprint before they start building a building. You know, you don't just start throwing together Lincoln logs and hope that you get, you know, a skyscraper. And third, you know, the journaling around that every day, have that be just like that guiding light.
Yeah.
And then obviously prayers, just just asking for the higher power, you know, to work through you and bring that inspiration, those serendipities, those spontaneous ideas, you know, and obviously the tenacity, you know, circles back to giving them the hope and belief to keep going. So yeah, I love that. That is brilliant. So
yeah, that's interesting. This the program I do, Wendy, if I could just mention this real briefly.
Sure.
But it's based on four spiritual laws. And the spiritual laws are, we're all one energy, that we are, it's up to us to be the change. And then as within, so without. So the change and success have to come from the inside before it's manifested externally. Mm-hmm. And then the fourth law would be, you know, buried emotions never die. So unless we learn to manage our emotions, one, to identify them, and then two, to manage them, then those emotions are going to come out in a very unhealthy way, and they can upset a lot of issues. Mm-hmm. And so the three-month program I do is based on those four spiritual laws and what we call 12 dialogues. So every day we're in a constant dialogue, one-third of the time with other people, but two-thirds of the time we're in dialogue with ourselves. Mm-hmm. So it's important to be, you know, cognizant and aware of what our thoughts are.
Yeah, I would think even a higher percentage in dialogue with ourselves. In my opinion, it's those inner thoughts that really tend to serve or derail.
Yeah, exactly.
It was really getting into that aspect, which is so important. Yeah, I love that you have those four pillars. All right. Well, Barry, this has just been so great hearing about your journey from, you know, the success that you enjoyed building a solid business within the insurance sector and supporting many people with their, you know, their automotive and commercial insurance needs. And then this big situation that occurred when you were selling your business and faced with, oh my gosh, this unexpected litigation that came out of nowhere, huge legal fees and complications, mixing in a divorce with the whole thing and all of that, and brought you squarely face to face with the realization, I need help. I need somebody from the outside that's going to help me navigate through this, because it's coming down faster than I can pick up the pieces. And reaching out to that life coach and realizing what a value that person provided to you and, you know, helped you reach deep inside of you and probably allowed you to connect with your inner genius and strength and clarity to be able to navigate that, and realizing, you know what, this is something that I think I can do. In that moment that you realize that you can take that same experience, tap into your own life experience and expertise, and be that for somebody else, for a lot of other people. So, you know, in this impactful work you're now doing as a life coach, helping people go through those major life transitions, expected or unexpected, and land successfully on the other side. So I've really enjoyed our conversation, Barry, and I want to thank you so much for being a guest on my show today.
Well, thank you, Wendy. Been great to work with, and you're very articulate and very insightful and very successful in your own right. So it's been a pleasure, and I hope we can talk again soon.
Yes. Well, thank you so much for those compliments, Barry. I do appreciate that. And again, for our listeners, you can reach Barry Cervantes through his website, CamelotLifeCoach.com, or his phone number, 314-276-0423. And take him up on that complimentary coaching session or consulting session. It sounds like there's a lot of value that he brings and clarity. So again, that's CamelotLifeCoach.com. And for all our listeners, remember, when it comes to building a business that brings you joy and has an endless flow of high-paying clients, well, don't overlook the power of compassionate selling, where you've fully supported your potential client's decision-making process by activating the four psychological states needed for your potential clients to feel confident and excited about saying, yeah, this sounds great. Let's do it. So are you 100% confident that you're fully supporting your potential clients at each step of their journey with you? Well, if you're curious, reach out to me and apply for a sales blind spot coaching session. You may be surprised by what we discover. All right. Well, this is Wendy Vaughn, Chief Paradigm Shifter and Sales Success Coach. And you can find me in our next podcast episode at predictablesalesresults.com. All right. Well, thank you for tuning in to today's episode with Barry Cervantes. And as always, here's to your success.